When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everybody, welcome to Just for Variety. Today is February 21st, 2024. I'm your host, Mark Malkin. My guest today is Joe Locke. You know Locke from his breakout role of Charlie in the hit Netflix LGBTQ teen series, Heartstopper. Now, the 20-year-old Brit is on the New York stage. Locke recently made his Broadway debut in the Tony-nominated revival of Sweeney Todd, the Demon Barber of Fleet Street. Next, he'll be seen in Marvel's much-anticipated WandaVision spinoff, Agatha, Darkhold Diaries, opposite Katherine Hahn, Aubrey Plaza, and Patti LuPone. To think it hasn't even been 3 years since Locke made his professional acting debut in Heartstopper. I caught up with Locke over Zoom from his apartment in New York City. But before we get to Locke, let's have a sneak peek at my upcoming Just for Variety conversation with Joey King. King received Emmy and Golden Globe nominations for her portrayal of Gypsy Rose Blanchard in the limited series, The Act. Blanchard was sentenced to 10 years in prison after pleading guilty to second-degree murder for the death of her mother, Dee Dee. Blanchard was released from prison on parole in late December after serving 8 years for the 2015 crime. In Blanchard's trial, she claimed that her mother suffered from Munchausen syndrome by proxy and had fabricated that Blanchard had illnesses, including leukemia, asthma, and muscular dystrophy. During my recent interview with King, she told me that she and Blanchard have been in touch since her release from prison. King said, "Having that private conversation with her was really lovely. We both know that there's absolutely no ill will towards one another." You can read more of what King had to say at Variety.com. Welcome back to Just for Variety. Heartstopper star Joe Locke has always dreamed of being on Broadway, and now he is. The 20-year-old actor recently made his Broadway debut as Tobias Ragg in the revival of Sweeney Todd. But before he headed to the Great White Way, Locke landed in Atlanta to film Marvel's WandaVision spinoff, Agatha Darkhold Diaries, with Katherine Hahn, Aubrey Plaza, and Patti LuPone. He also wrapped season 3 of Heartstopper. In other words, we had a lot to talk about. I caught up with Locke over Zoom from his New York City apartment before a recent performance of Sweeney Todd. Hi, Joe. I don't know if you remember.
Hi. Yes, I do.
During the pandemic.
Yeah. I remember.
How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
You're on Broadway.
I am. It's very cool.
Oh, I just snorted. How wild is that?
I know. It's very pinch me all the time, which is great. But I'm still every night. I'm like, what am I doing? In the best way.
But do you feel confident hitting that stage, the Great White Way?
Yeah, I mean, I feel confident until I'm about to sing the top A flat, and then it's like, will it come out? Will it not? And so far it has every night. So touch wood that it does.
Yeah. So not everyone are gay men like us who know the story of Sweeney Todd. Give me the brief synopsis so everyone will understand where you're at with no spoilers.
Okay. Sweeney Todd is an old Victorian England setting. Sweeney Todd's been in Australia for 15 years, I think. He got exiled there because some evil judge wanted to sleep with his wife, and he wouldn't let him sleep with his wife, so the judge sent him to Australia. And then he comes back to London, he meets Mrs. Lovett, who remembers him from back in the old, when he was last in London, and then they he wants revenge on the judge. And then things happen and he ends up killing lots of people and baking them into pies and people eat them. And it's a tragedy, so it's not got a happy ending.
And where do you come in?
I play Tobias, who starts out as Pirelli's assistant and ends up being taken in by Mrs. Lovett and sort of becomes like a surrogate son for her and her a surrogate mum for him. And they forge this really nice relationship until it goes wrong.
It goes, yes. We're going to leave it at that. It goes wrong.
Yeah, it goes wrong.
There are obviously other productions of Sweeney Todd that you could watch. There's a movie. There's obviously different stage productions of it. Do you go and watch those different productions, or do you want to start fresh and make it your own?
I've seen Sweeney Todd many different times and many different iterations before. I've never actually seen the film, which I feel like I should have. But when I got the part, I was just like, I want to make Toby mine. I feel like I know a lot about different ways people have played him before, but I wanted to make him mine.
So tell me how this all came about. You're, you know, not to go back to the, we're both gay men, but all gay men want to be on Broadway at some point. that is definitely my inner child. I work a lot on that. I'm a New York kid. So Broadway, you know, I was going to Broadway, my first Broadway show. Columbus Day weekend, fifth grade.
It was amazing.
Revival of 42nd Street.
Oh, wow. That's a proper Broadway show.
Yeah. And I could still see it's iconic. The
mirror
numbers, they're tap dancing.
Yeah.
The curtains are rising and you just see their feet. Like, I get chills so cool. Thinking about it now.
I feel like everyone knows about that classic, like, 42nd Street production of.
Yeah. I went to the stage door. I was with my grandparents and my mom, and I was like, we have to go to stage door. I have to get autographs. And I got everyone's autographs. Tammy Grimes, Jerry Orbach, Carol Cook. And it just obviously left a big impression on me because I'm telling you all about it. But
yeah.
Tell me about you saying to your agents or your managers, hey, I want to be in a Broadway musical.
Yeah, I went to watch Next to Normal at the Dharma Warehouse in London, and Jack Wolfe plays the character. I've forgotten the character's name, but it's like the son character. Yeah. And me and my friend Toby, we left in absolute messes, sobbing our eyes out because that musical is so devastatingly sad. But we're both like, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. And the next day, I was going into my agent's office anyway. And I remember being like, I want to do a musical like really bad. Like, that's why. And then he was like, well, that's strange you say that. I've just actually had an email from the Tulsi office about Sweeney Todd. Would that be something you'd be interested in? And I was like, yeah, I think it would be. So then I had a music session with Alex Lacamoire, and then had a session with Tommy Cale. And then they gave me the part. And that was like a space of like 2 weeks. I was like, great.
Your life. I mean, Joe, when we first talked, I think we were still in pandemic because it was the first season of Heartstopper.
It would have been like April 2022, like just at the tail end of,
How do you wrap your mind around your life now? And I mean, it is so quickly has changed from who'd never professionally acted in a TV show, a movie. And now I'm talking to you from your apartment in New York City. You're on Broadway with Sutton Foster, and we'll get to the poem in a second, of course. But how do you wrap your mind around this?
It's sort of, I don't think I ever really have. It sort of all happened so quickly that I'd never actually had a moment to stop and think about it, which might be a good thing because I think it's one of those things that like make my brain explode if I really thought about it in a way. I feel very grateful to the world and the universe for, I'm very much living my childhood dreams. This is always what I wanted to do, and now I get to do it, which is amazing. And it's amazing to get to do it and to be working with such incredible people, and even in a way like be treated as like an equal as them, which is the strangest feeling when the people you look up to are looking at you in the same way they look at everyone else that they work with and respect. It's a very surreal experience.
Tell me about, I looked on your Instagram, of course, and you have the photo. I think it's your first the first curtain call of Sweeney Todd. Mm-hmm. And you wrote, "Little Joe would be happy right now."
Yeah, Little Joe always, I spent pretty much all of my childhood, where I'm from in the Isle of Man, we have a gorgeous Victorian theatre, which has like been really well preserved. And I spent pretty much all of my childhood up until like the age of 15 in that theatre, just doing like amateur productions with my friends. And mm-hmm. I remember like the smell of that theatre is like one of my favorite smells in the world. Like the old dusty, like mm-hmm. not been dusted in 100 years, moldy, wooden, like Victorian. It's just, I have such fun memories of that place. And I think that's really where I found myself a lot, which is amazing. And I am very grateful for that experience. And I think that's what really led me to want to do this. So then to then be able to now come back to theatre 5-6 years later, but on Broadway, is a very surreal, strange, and incredible experience.
Was Little Joe a happy kid?
Yeah, I had the most amazing childhood. I grew up on this tiny remote island where we never really locked our front door. I could play out until it got dark and my mom wouldn't worry about me. And I, like, it was so safe and amazing. And I think it's one of those places that growing up you resent in a way because it's small and you can't go to the big cities. And but looking back, I realize how great I had it and how amazing of a childhood I had. And I think that I always say that like people my age and with like that last generation before like I have had kids, like they didn't really become a thing until I was like 10, 11. So I still had that childhood of being outside and exploring. And,
right.
and we still had technology, but not like people my younger brother's age, who's only like 3 or 4 years younger. They like all had the ability to have iPads from when they were like 4. And I don't know. I feel very grateful that I didn't have, we didn't have that, which is, but also still being young enough to like understand technology. I love going back there now. I love going home. And
do you get a parade when you go home now?
No, again, no one cares, which is great. My mom will, it's great going home though, because my mom will like, I think last time I'd gone for a shower and I left my underpants on the bathroom floor. And she's like, "It's just so nice having you throw your clothes on the floor again. I've missed you being here." And I was like, "Yeah, that's pathetic, mom." But it's cute in the way that she meant that, like, right. my presence in the home, which just happened to be me leaving my underpants on the bathroom floor.
Did you pick up your underpants when your mom cried about it?
No. Well, what's also great about going home is that I don't really have to do anything because mom will do it all for me because she's so happy that I'm home. So I get to be a kid again.
What did your mom say when you said, "Oh, by the way, I'm moving to New York to be on Broadway"? So one, she's excited for you to be on Broadway. But what did she think about you? You're 20 years old, moving to New York.
Yeah. Yeah. I think at this point, she is used to me saying things that are so out of her view of the world. Like this time last year, I was telling her I was going to Atlanta for 6 months to be in a Marvel series. Like, it's just the next thing, which is great. But I think she's like, "Great. When am I coming? When are you going to fly me out to see you?" is also what she says, which is great. My mom's amazing. She's been, I mean, I was talking to a friend. It must be terrifying, like having your son like 1 minute be in your home and then the next, like, because Heartstopper happened so quickly, I sort of just was there one moment and then I was gone. And right. now I'm like gallivanting around the world doing all these things. Like, she always is like, has the thing of like, I'm just worried about you, blah, blah, blah. But if I was her, I'd be 10 times more worried about me. Like, not that I'm doing anything to be worried about, but
I was just gonna say, Joe, like, you're not gonna help her here.
No, but I mean, it's, I sometimes I'm like, "Oh, mom, like, I'm fine." But then I'm like, actually, it's a pretty like terrifying thing for her.
How is it walking around New York for you? How often are you recognized? How often are you just Joe and look like you're from Holiday from the UK?
Yeah, I mean, I think New York is a unique city in that everyone has their own story and their own drive and they're doing their own thing. And they don't really care about you in a good way that like they, I love people watching in this city. I think you have the most interesting stories and yeah, in a way that I don't think you find anywhere else in the world. And I think I know that I am known to the world, but I'm in the really nice sweet spot of not to everyone or most people. So I can pretty much walk around and do what I want. And if I want a free coffee, I'll just go into the West Village and go into a gay bar or a gay coffee shop and then I'll get free coffee. It's like that sort of thing.
So what happens when Joe Locke goes into a gay bar in New York City? Do they start?
Joe Locke doesn't go into a gay bar because he's not 21.
That's right.
But if he was to go in a gay bar in London, it's great. You never pay for a drink if you're Joe Locke in a gay bar.
Talk about going to Atlanta. I know you can't tell me anything about the WandaVision spinoff.
Uh-huh.
But please tell me what it's like on set. A director says action, and you're working with Patty LuPone.
I mean, that whole shoot was just, it was me and the most strong, amazing women you ever meet. Like Patty, Catherine, Aubrey, Ali, Sashir, Deborah Jo Rupp, like all these, Jack Schaefer, our showrunner, Mary Lavanis, all these incredible, strong women. I grew up around a lot of strong women. And so it was like, I was back in, it was like, that's my comfort area. Like being in a room full of women. I think if I was in a room full of men, I'd feel slightly uncomfortable, but I don't know why in a room full of women, I just feel like at home. Probably the single mother and / gay kid sort of thing. In the same way I used to love all my English teachers. It's like, right. but I had the most amazing experience in that shoot. They're all so incredible. And the characters they play are so, Catherine Hahn is just a masterclass. And I learned so much from her, and her Agatha is so layered and textured. And on the surface, you can play her as this villain and she plays her with so much layers and care and incredibleness. And she's just like, every take is different. Every take is something new and fresh and in the best way. And she always keeps you on your toes. There's a scene we did in our chemistry read, which was the most terrifying experience of my life. They flew me out to LA for like 24 hours. I had to do a COVID test in the room next door. And it was that thing of like, I've got it. I've come all this way. I'm literally 6 feet away from the room and I've got COVID. Obviously I didn't. And I went in and it was all fine.
Oh no.
Oh no, I didn't. But like, I convinced myself that I had, and me and Catherine were wearing matching Vans. And I remember Jack Schaefer taking a picture of our matching Vans. And then that was the point I was like, okay, maybe this is going well. But we did a scene in that chemistry read, which then ended up being my favorite scene we shot on the whole show. It's like an argument scene. And I, up until that point in the shoot, it was like playing tennis with Serena Williams. And that like, I was like trying to hit the Catherine, which was like, bam, bam, bam. And then there was a point in the shoot, in the scene where I say something to her and I like, she wasn't letting me get my line out as Agatha. And I remember I screamed a line at her and like, it was like, I hadn't played it like that before. And I saw it in her face, like she was like, okay. And it was the first time that I was able to like hit the ball back in the tennis game. And it was like such an amazing, like, it was almost like when the student becomes the teacher in a way of like, she taught me so much by that point of like how to control a scene and how to work with your screen peers that I was able to like use what she taught me against her in a way. And it worked for the scene. It was amazing. And I just remember that feeling was like, wow, like this is the coolest. I'm working with this most amazing actress. And yeah, it was great. I really think it's going to be a very, very, very good show. And I'm very excited for it to come out.
Which Vans were you wearing?
The black classic Vans. They were my lucky shoes. And then I walked in and Catherine was wearing the same ones. And yeah, it's like it's fate. And then, yeah.
I mean, are you going, not that you're going to have to audition much more, but for all your auditions and chemistry reads, you're going to have to wear those Vans.
Oh, those shoes on now. I'm going to wear every audition I do.
Were you a Marvel fan before this? Are you a Marvel person?
Yeah, I used to go all the time and watch all the Marvel films with all my friends. I remember watching WandaVision when it came out and like having no idea that any of, like, it was before Heartstopper, before, it was just as I was getting cast in Heartstopper, I think, actually, it came out. But it was just weird to think that, like, at that point, I had no idea that I would, it would have been out of my even scope of the world to think that I would be in the spin-off of that show. So it's very, yeah, I love Marvel. I love the way that, I feel like Marvel is one of the few things that unites the whole world in that, like, everyone knows of it. Everyone talks about the new Marvel film. Everyone talks about the new Marvel series. And so I think it's really great that Marvel is using that, I don't know, scope of being able to influence the world for what I would say is good, especially with our show. Being able to, like, not preach and not tell what people should believe, but just showing characters that are different to the norm of a superhero, in a way that I think is really beneficial for the world. I'm excited for our show for that.
Now, you have referred to another of your co-stars, Patti LuPone, again, I'm going to bring her up again, as one of your best friends. Tell me about bonding with Patti.
Patti's just, she's the most warm and lovely and kind person. I never want to cross her. I never want to get on in an argument with her, but she will fight for the people that she loves until the end of the earth and cares so much about the people in her life. And I learned so much from her about being a kind human and also about, like, respect and owning your own respect and being respected for what you do whilst also respecting those around you. She's like, I always see her as, like, one of the last, like, living legends. Like, I went to watch her at the Hollywood Bowl in the summer, and she commands such a respect of the stage and keeps the audience in such, like, a raptured attention that, like, completely in the palm of her hand, in a way that I just haven't seen anyone else do that before. And also, like, in a way that I find that some people can do that today because of who they are. Yes, it's because of who she is, but she's who she is because of her talent. And she's garnered that, like, respect because of her talent and because of her skill and ability to be so incredible. And I respect that so much. And again, like, in the same way I learned a lot from Catherine, I learned so much from her as well.
Did you sing it all with Patti?
I don't know if I can answer that. I don't know if I'm allowed to answer that, which is an answer in itself, I guess.
That's an answer. So now I can't ask you what it's like to sing with Patti. But I want to know.
Ask me again at the end of the year.
I will.
Tell you all about it.
What advice did Patti give you about going to Broadway?
On my opening night, she sent me the most gorgeous flowers, and I think she left me a note which said, "Joe, be present, have fun, and breathe. Love, Patti." And I've put it up on my dressing room mirror. But she's been so helpful in, like, any, like, even, like, little Broadway things that I don't know what they mean. She's just like, if I just text her, she's like, "Oh, this is this, and people do this and this and this."
We're going to take a short break, but when we come back, Locke reveals if his time singing on Broadway and possibly in Agatha means he's going to pursue a music career. He also teases what's in store for season 3 of Heartstopper. And then he talks about the impact of the show on young LGBTQ people.
I'll be right back. Welcome back to Just for Variety. I'm Mark Malkin. Here's more of Joe Locke.
Do you see yourself one day recording an album, going for a whole music career?
I don't think so. I would love to do it in the musical or like originate a role, but I can't ever see myself putting out my own music.
But let's talk about 2 years ago. Did you see yourself in a hit?
That's true. So never say never.
Heartstopper. And telling me about Patti LuPone sending you flowers on your opening night in a Broadway musical.
Yeah. I mean, it was, yeah. I mean, so never say never, I guess. we'll see you in 2 years' time.
And I know we talked about this when we first met over Zoom about the power of Heartstopper. And I think I said it to you then. I'm going to say it to you now even more about helping to save young people's lives. There's the show that I think does that. And then I think you living your life as an out gay man will and is giving young people and even older people hope, and seeing themselves and saying, you know what? I'm allowed to dream too. I'm allowed to come from a little city, a little town, a little village, and I could survive. Do you feel that impact?
I do. And I think a lot of the time I've like, the Britishness in me has like, been like, you know, that British thing of like, being humble about, being over humble about things. But I do see the impact that the show and I guess, us as a cast being unapologetically us has had on people. But I think I'm just living my life. I've never been someone to apologize for who I am, and I don't think anyone should ever do that. So my friends don't tell you that much.
and I know you've talked about coming out at 12. What do you say to other right now a 12-year-old who could be listening to this and looking for any sign of they're going to be okay?
I think I just be you. Everyone's experience is different and their own. I have an amazing group of people around me. But yeah, just be you. So you can be.
Heartstopper season 3. Give me 3 words to describe it.
Ooh, 3 words. Grown up, hormonal, and growth.
How many seasons do you see yourself doing of Heartstopper?
I don't know. I have no idea. I don't know.
When you and Kit sit down and think about the success of the show and how it's changed your lives, did the two of you ever have that discussion? Like, where are we? What's going on?
Yeah, we've definitely had that conversation a lot of times. Us all as a cast have. It's a very surreal thing. Our lives, they're sort of weird because most of the time we're just sat on our asses on our couches doing nothing. Every now and then we do really weird, cool things, which is fun, but most of it's just sat around.
How many of them have come to New York to see you in the show?
Yaz came to watch last week. Karina and Layla are actually here at the moment. We're about to go for brunch together. They're watching this weekend. Toby, Kit, and Will are all coming a bit later on, which is nice.
What was, after you took that bow that first night and you go home to your apartment in New York City, what's going through your head?
I was so nervous on the first day that I think it was just a lot of relief. it sort of hadn't really sunk in the reality of it. I mean, don't think it really has either now, and it's been 3 weeks, but yeah, it was like a lot of relief when I got home, and I think I slept so well that night. I hadn't slept really much in the week before because I was so nervous, but that night I just fell asleep so fast.
And then just a fun question, what's your favorite restaurant to eat in New York now that you're a New Yorker?
I ate at Don Angie a few weeks ago, and that was some of the best food I've ever had. What else do I love?
What did you have there that you loved?
They did this chrysanthemum salad, which is like chrysanthemum leaves, which was so good. And the lasagna was so good. It was all so good. I want to go back, but that's the hardest place to get a table. So Don Angie, if you read this, then please give me a table.
You know, listen, just say you're a friend of Patty's, or by the way, just say you're Joe Locke.
Yeah. I think Patty's name would have more traction in the city than mine.
Here comes that British. He's being humble. Joe, this was awesome. I'm so glad we got to do this. I'm so happy.
Yeah, it's great fun.
And just, you know, keep thinking of that little Joe. I love that. I just love little Joe being happy right now.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, go enjoy New York City. Is it full of snow right now?
The snow's sort of mostly gone, but there's like little bits of left. But it was really nice waking up to the New York City in the snow. I think all the New Yorkers were like, ugh. And I was like, oh, yay, it's snowing in New York. This is so cool.
See, I've now lived in L. I grew up in New York City. I grew up in Queens, but I've lived in New York now for, I lived in LA now for 20 years. And I have the heat on today. I've gotten so sad. I can't imagine.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, you come to New York? I'm like, in the spring.
Yeah. I mean, it's cold. I think it's like 31, 30 degrees right now. So
I honestly don't know what I would do.
Yeah. I think being British, you're just used to the cold. So
yeah,
but it doesn't get this cold. It never gets this cold. I always feel like New York gets colder than London and hotter than London. Like it's always like an extreme.
Well, one day when you move to LA, we'll be talking about you turning the heat on when it's 60.
Well, yeah. Someone should give me a job that takes me to LA then.
No, I think it's going to happen. It will happen. Joe, thank you so much. This was absolutely wonderful. And again, congrats.
Thank you very much.
That was Joe Locke. And that's it for this week's Just for Variety. Thanks for listening. And don't forget, the SAG Awards are this Saturday, February 24th. My friend and red carpet colleague, Angelique Jackson, and I will be on the red carpet grabbing interviews with all your favorite stars. Follow along at Variety's Twitter. Until then, make sure to follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Threads at Mark Malkin. And for all breaking and exclusive Hollywood news, go to Variety.com. Bye for now.